Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, another great testimony on, yes, how Jesus is really doing it. Yes, even in this current jet age and space age, all that's happened during the days of the Bible and the New Testament are still happening today. Nothing has changed. But the power is still here through the Holy Spirit and ministering to the brokenhearted and setting at liberty those who are bruised. Well, today on the program, I'd like to welcome Bobby Whitmire. Good to have you, Bobby.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Everett.
Bobby, we were at a function here recently, and we got to talking, and I started hearing about your tremendous testimony and what Jesus has done in your life and how Jesus set you free. And I'd like to just visit with you and you share that. So, where would you like to start? Some years back?
Yes, I'll start 10 years back. I was released. I was raised by the state in several children's homes here in Oklahoma, and the last one I was in was Vinita Eastern State Hospital because I had attempted suicide, and I ran away from there and called my brother, and he came to Vinita to pick me up. He was living with my aunt and uncle up in Missouri, but after he picked me up, he took me to my grandmother's and dropped me off, and I couldn't really stay at my grandmother's because well, if I could, I wouldn't have had to have been in children's homes in the first place. It was just not possible for her to take care of us. So I took off hitchhiking, and I went to Tulsa, where I was walking around downtown, and I saw a guy with makeup on who approached me, and I started talking with him, and he told me that he was hustling out on the street, and before that, I had went to the Salvation Army and the mission trying to get something to eat and a place to sleep for the night, but I didn't have identification. And I wasn't 18, I was 17 and a half at the time. And so they didn't accept me, and I went out on the street, and I was walking around and met this guy, and he filled me in on what he was doing, hustling. So I started hustling, and eventually, within a couple of months' time, went to San Francisco, because I heard that was where the gay population was, and where it would be easier for me to make a living, if you will. So I went out to San Francisco and got a job the first couple of weeks I was there as a stripper in a gay theater. It was a X-rated theater, and I worked there for about 5 years off and on. And what I did was I stripped, and then after the show, people would come back to the dressing room, and then it was the same thing as prostitution. I would give private shows and get paid for it. And eventually, after the club closed, I started hustling on the street. And so after a while...
And you were how old at this time, Bobby?
I was approximately... Well, I started when I was 18, about 18. And it must have been 23 or 24 whenever I started hustling on the street after the club closed. And... So I heard that Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood had a big population down there, too, homosexuals. So I went down there, and I was staying in a motel up on Sunset Boulevard, paying $27.50 a day for a motel room. And so I was obligated every day to go out and at least make that. And so after a couple of years of doing that down there, I got really tired, and I really felt hopeless, my situation, and that there was no way out of it. And of course, I was into drugs really heavily, and shooting up speed and acid, and trying marijuana and other things. And one day in my motel room, I was just so tired of doing what I was doing, you know, and it seemed like a trap. You know, I had to go out and make the money for the rent that day, and then go out and make some more if I wanted to eat. And I was doing that every day for a couple of years. And it was like I was a non-person, you know. I was just a machine, a sex machine, and I just got so sick of it. And so one day I was sitting in my motel room, and I turned the television on to the Praise the Lord program. And Paul and Jan and somebody else were praying, and they were saying something about a young man being in a motel room. They had a word of knowledge that... that God will listen to you, is what they said, you know. And so I started crying and started praying, you know, and it was a really traumatic experience for me because, you know, I was just bawling my head off there in my motel room alone. And
had you ever been witness to or been in church before way back?
Yes, one of the institutions I was in was the Methodist Children's Home, and we were required to go to Wednesday evening services and Sunday services, but I didn't mind at all. In fact, I had a relationship with Jesus, and at an early age, I was there in the institutions all along, so he was my friend. But after I got out of the institutions, I sort of put him on the back burner and forgot about him because I was so concerned with how I was going to, where I was going to sleep and what I was going to eat and everything. And so I just cried out to God. I said, God, if you are real, you know, I need you in my life now, you know, because I'm tired of the life that I'm living. You know, and I was really sick of it. I was really tired of it too. And I felt compelled while I was praying there to go back to Oklahoma City. To go back to Oklahoma, but Oklahoma City in particular. And that just wasn't logical to me. You know, I didn't have any reason to go back to Oklahoma because I'd been there before and I couldn't make a living doing what I was doing. And that's what I came out to California for. And, but because I was praying and because I felt compelled while I was praying to go back to Oklahoma, you know, and I was crying out to God for help, that I went ahead and hopped on a bus and came back to Oklahoma. But on my way back here, I started saying to myself, Bobby, what are you doing? You know, you're leaving your means of support behind, you know, and you're going to get out there and end up having to hitchhike back. So I got off the bus and went out to the highway and tried to hitchhike back to San Francisco, Los Angeles at that time. And I couldn't get a ride for a couple of hours, so I ended up walking a couple of miles back to the bus station and caught the next bus to Oklahoma. And I was worried about what I was going to do when I got here. So, but I didn't want to think about it on the bus. I knew that, you know, since I prayed to God and I was really earnest that, you know, he would follow through and have something here for me. So when I got here at the bus station, I sat down and I wasn't really anxious or anything. I knew that something was going to have to happen. And so I started praying to God and I said, okay, God, you know, I felt, you know, that this is what you wanted me to do and I'm here. And so I got up and walked over to the phone book and looked under J for Jesus. And I saw an ad for the Jesus House and called them up. And they came down and picked me up. And it was sort of miraculous the way that happened, too, because Sister Ruth and Sister Betty were being detained by the telephone or one thing or another. And they tried getting out of there. But they wouldn't have been there had not the Lord intervened, you know, because the service was already going on. And so they told me that, you know, the Lord had kept them there so in order to receive my call, because they normally would have been gone by that time. But at that time I stayed there for 9 months, and I really enjoyed it. You know, the fellowship that I had, there was no judgment being passed by other people concerning me, and I just felt so welcome and like I fit in there. And
at what point, Bobby, did you feel you were delivered in the minute and a half left that we have?
Well, I had left and went back out to California and came back on two different occasions. But this last time, I was out there and I was shooting drugs 2 and 3 times a day, and I was out there doing the same thing. So this time, I came 1 year ago. I had came back here and everybody told me that it was impossible, you know, for me to stop using drugs out there. But I just said, well, God, you know, I'm not able to deal with this, shooting drugs and this lifestyle or anything else. And I said, I can't deal with it, and there's nothing that I can do, you know, and it's all on you. All I can do is bring myself here and make myself available. And I haven't had any problem. I haven't had any problem with staying off drugs or abstaining from any immoral activities that I was involved in before. And
you reached out to Jesus.
I did. I reached out to Jesus, and I was incapable of changing myself. And I've really been blessed in that it hasn't been any problem for me. You know, I haven't had any longing to continue doing what I was doing or to use drugs.
You know, Bobby, as the Word says, if you'll seek, you'll find. The whole key is getting your eyes on Jesus, reaching out to touch Him And when we touch him, we are set free. Deliverance comes in all kinds of ways. And we've seen people totally delivered when they're born again. And then others, when they just pray and say, Lord, set me free. Praise God, he does it. Jesus, yes, still is a deliverer. And the word is so clear that that is not the proper lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, like in Romans 1, the word tells us that those kinds of things are an abomination to God. Well, praise God, how wonderful it is to be into his camp, to feel his love and his comfort via the Holy Spirit. How's your life today, Bobby?
Well, my life is great. I'm working at the Jesus House, and every day, I live there, in fact, and I'm just so happy. I have a joy in my heart now that wasn't there when I was in bondage to that lifestyle and sin out in California. I'm just so happy that I have liberty in the Lord to do what I want now and just to pursue the things that I find that are enjoyable.
To serve him. And as we serve him, we become recipients to the abundant life that's in Christ Jesus. Bobby Whitmire, thank you, brother, for sharing a beautiful testimony on how the Lord set you free.
Thank you, Edward. I really enjoy being here this afternoon.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, we read, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And we find that actually there are curses, actual curses that can flow through the generations due to illegitimacies. Yes, on the front lines, casting out demons, we run into this type of thing, in fact, quite a bit. You get to thinking about it, and as this talks about, well, 10 generations, who knows what has gone on in our families 10 generations back. I don't know, but I know one thing, in the name of Jesus, if there are any curses flowing to us as a result of any illegitimacies, in Jesus' name, we can cancel them out, thereby terminating any legal rights that the demons would use, and then command any associated spirits to go. That's what we're going to talk about today. What an exciting testimony we have. And I'd like to welcome Alan Wagner to the program. Alan, good to have you.
Hi. I'm glad to be here. It's a privilege and an honor.
Alan, let's get a little history on you here, a little spiritual history. Now, you have been born again, well, not all that long ago. How long was it?
It was November the 5th of 85.
Okay, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you said at the same time?
Well, I was lying in one of the hospitals here, and on my deathbed, more or less, and I had a couple Christians come up, and they had enough love of the Lord in their heart and concern to pray for me for healing, and I received my salvation, and November the 5th, I received my prayer language, the Holy Spirit, and that's when my eyes were opened up, and I was delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the light of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah. And Alan, why don't you share with the listeners some things that were going on in your life, whatever you feel comfortable in sharing, about that deliverance. What was going on that was really making you miserable?
Well, it started as a young child. I came from a religious background, Catholic, and my mother was going out with other men. My father was an alcoholic. Well, religion never healed anybody, but I didn't. I thought religion, that was it, until I came to Oklahoma and found the difference between religion and Christianity. Well, my family, there was a curse over my family due to generations back that entered into my family's brothers and sisters' lives. My mother conceived a bastard sister of mine, and after that, every one of my brothers and sisters conceived bastard children except for me. The spirit of perversion had control of my soul, which was my mind, will, and emotions. Until I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I found out the truth, how Satan will pervert man to destroy him or to destroy anything that God has put on this earth, whether it's the Bible, man, woman, anything, animal, he is trying to destroy it. And it was the power of God that had delivered me out of the darkness, out of the clutches of the hands of Satan, and I know the truth, and it was the love of God, people that shared the love of God with me, And I'm just here to tell people that are out there that are being criticized and being made fun of because of what you are. It doesn't make a difference who you are or where you're at. God gave Jesus on the cross so we could have eternal life. And there was a time in my life where I didn't think anybody cared. And I didn't want to be a homosexual or have to sell my body for a hamburger or be involved with a prostitution ring until I was delivered, because it was the spirit that had control of my life. My family looked down upon me. The society in general made fun of me. I didn't know about faggot coming out of the Bible with Satan. It was a vessel that was possessed with the spirit of perversion. And the devil will use that to try to captivate the minds of these people to destroy them. The same way with drugs and alcohol. Perversion is a killer.
Satan basically had you under his control. Is that right, Alan?
Yes, he had complete control of my soul, which was my mind, will, and emotion. And I did not know where I was going until I was on my deathbed. And not one of the people I ran with had enough love in their heart to ask me to go to church or even mention God to me. Until I was on my deathbed and Satan said, "This is it, you're done." God said, "No, I am going to use you as a witness. And I'm going to put those people that you've been to bed with, those that you've been with, those that you haven't, those that loved you and those that hated you, and you will confess my name before them as a Christian." And I can't tell you the hundreds and hundreds of people that were possessed with this spirit. Doctors, lawyers, Catholic priests. I mean, it's unbelievable. This how this here spirit of perversion has control of these people, destroying their lives, their family. And I'm just here to tell people there is hope, and it's with God Almighty. Religion won't set you free, but God will, and the Spirit of God will set you free.
How exciting it is, of course, to learn that Jesus is still setting the captives free. It isn't just from 200 or 2,000 years ago, it's for today. There is hope. There isn't only hope, there is a full answer that you too can be free. If you're caught up in perversion, maybe there's a curse due to the illegitimacies flowing down through the generations like we discussed here. But that's okay. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cancel all satanic contracts, all curses that flow. And all you have to do is want to change. Jesus is ready if you are. So all you have to do is come forward, seek help, get with someone who understands the power of the gospel and about deliverance. Well, Alan, when you were in your deliverance, could you feel the spirits leaving, or what was it like as the fellows ministered to you?
Well, usually I tell people about a year and a half ago, if somebody would have mentioned God to me, I would have probably ran over them, not knowing God or having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But after I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it was like a bolt of lightning struck me. I was slain in the Spirit. I felt the demons leave my body. I felt them up and leave. I could stand up and look people in the eye. I didn't have to hold my head in shame because I was full of iniquity. I literally stunk. But the Lord Jesus Christ picked me up out of that miry pit and cleaned up my life. And He straightened me up so I could be a living, not just telling people, but showing them and sharing love with them. That curse there had me so bound. I didn't know from one day to the next where I was, what I was doing. I just thought I had to go with the flow. And people, they look down on you, and I had to get into the little gay community here. But it's not so little. It's growing very rapid due to the more salvation, more people that are giving their life to the Lord. Those demons have to enter into the weaker vessel, the unsaved. Perversion has reached, so it's such a high number in this town here and all over, and especially where I was. I just came back from Iowa, where I'm originally from, to see homosexual priests become born-again Christians. It's just unbelievable. Or to see lesbian nuns up in some of the convents find out the truth, but nobody ever loved them enough to really share the truth with them because they were deceived. And it's deception. Satan is going to use perversion, deception, anything he can to destroy man. But I can thank God Almighty that there were some people out there that had the love of God in their heart, that they weren't afraid to come up and lay hands on me and tell me the truth. And it was the truth that set me free. Praise God.
You know, we're all commissioned to love the people around us enough to tell them this truth, to lead them to the truth, to lead them to Jesus, to lead them to freedom in Jesus. Well, Alan, I feel led to do something here as we're getting toward the end of the program. But those who knows how many of you out there may be under the curse of the bastard, the curse of illegitimacies for 10 generations back. But let's apply the answer now. Why don't you all join me as we, in Jesus' name, now break that curse? Just repeat this after me. In Jesus' name, I hereby break the curse that flows to me as a result of illegitimacies in my family for all generations back. I repent of this. I repent for my family. And in the name of Jesus, and by the shed blood of the Lamb, I hereby break the curse and proclaim my freedom. And I hereby command every related spirit, homosexual spirit, perverse spirit, all demonic evil spirits, in Jesus' name, now go from me. In Jesus' name, go. And we all standing in agreement by the blood of the Lord Jesus, agree and command every demonic spirit, in Jesus' name, now go. Jesus has set us free. I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. We read in Romans 1:24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due." Well, what we're talking about here and what the Scripture is talking about is very clear. Homosexuality. I'd like to welcome to the program today Brother Ray Dutton. Ray, good to have you on the program.
Lord bless you, brother. I'm glad to be here.
Ray, let's get some history on you first, and let's then get into your exciting testimony on how Jesus set you free. When were you born again, Ray?
October 22nd, 1978.
Okay, well, you've been a born-again Christian quite a while, and yet, apparently, there were some things going on in your life that seemed to be, well, not lining up with the Scripture that we just read. Would you share that with us?
Yes, brother. I was born again and baptized in a Southern Baptist church, and praise God for the Baptist people. They're really working the work of the Lord, bringing souls into the kingdom of God. Well, after I was born again, I found that I was still troubled, oppressed, and pressured into the act of homosexuality, and it was awful. It was awful because I wanted to serve Jesus. I wanted to walk in line with God's word, but at the same time there seemed to be assigned to me a spirit of homosexuality that was attached to my flesh, and just every which way I turned, there it was, pushing me and driving me to do those things which are unseemly and abomination before the Lord, I believe.
No question about it. That's what the word tells us, that these things are an abomination. Well, Ray, obviously you're under bondage. You were wanting to serve the Lord, but something seemed to have hold of you. And what's the exciting news is today is that there's an answer for those out there that have this same problem today. As Ray's going to tell, he was set free, and Jesus is the deliverer. Ray, I wasn't involved in your deliverance. One of the other team leaders ministered to you one evening. Would you care to share how that went?
Yes, it started that I had came to the place in my life where I was just sick and tired of the way I was being pushed around. And I came to the deep depression and that I could not be released from this horrible abomination, homosexuality, sleeping with men, and all kinds of stuff that is just so ungodly. Well,
Ray, how did you happen to know or find out that and suspect that this thing, this homosexual thing, might even be a spirit that really wasn't you, never was you?
Because it's unnatural. It was unnatural when I read the Word of God in Genesis, the first chapter, when it speaks about God creating man to be with woman. So therefore, I considered it to be a perversion for men to be with men and women to be with women. And I prayed about it, and I discerned that it was a demon.
So how did you happen to come to Deliverance Ministries?
I heard it over the radio. And I called one night in desperation, seeking freedom from this bondage.
Praise God. And you know, we've always known when the person's ready to change, Jesus is the changer. Jesus has always been waiting for us. He's always ready, praise God. And that's what's exciting, what the message that we've got to put across today. It's so exciting. What good news that there's an answer. And certainly, we've seen people that were born this way. Some will quickly say, "I was just born that way," and that's probably true with many people. Others, they picked it up when they were molested, perhaps as an innocent child, and that perverse spirit nevertheless had entry at that time. That was a legal right for it to come. Unfair as it seems to in view of the victim, but nevertheless, we've seen when a child is molested in a homosexual way that a perverse spirit typically comes in and needs to be dealt with and cast out, because what will happen otherwise, when that person matures, he'll find he has the same tendencies which that spirit is promoting. But, yes, some people are born this way. It seems to come down through the generations under a curse, and until dealt with and canceled out with this answer, Jesus, then the curse will continue. Well, I don't know the details of your deliverance, Ray. What happened when you came in here that evening? And it's been now, what, how long? A couple of months? Or so it's been... several months, actually, which has been a pretty good period to see just what's how you've been since you were ministered to. So how about sharing what it was like when you came and how you've been since?
Okay. My experience when I came was they asked me, "Are you ready? Would you like to be delivered? Would you like to be set free?" And my answer was, "Yes, I am ready to be set free." And they just dealt with me, and I confessed of all my sins that I had done, and I repented of everything ungodly, and I surrendered my heart totally and completely to the Lord Jesus, and all these demons that were oppressing me and driving me and pushing me were driven out of me. And from that point on, I have no longer since then have nasty, filthy dreams of men. I have not been pushed or buffeted or bothered or harassed in any form or manner concerning homosexuality. I am totally set free. Praise God, there is no more, any longer, any type of perversion in my life, because Jesus set me free. My life since then has just been miraculously changing.
Ray, during when the team was ministering to you, could you feel these things coming out, or what was your situation?
I felt, though, as there was a heaviness that was upon my chest and upon my body, and as they left, I felt I was becoming lighter and lighter.
Mm-hmm. That's often the case, and of course, some people, they don't feel anything as they come out. I didn't know just what yours was, but we find it doesn't matter as far as feeling goes. By faith, you can proceed, come against these things, and we find in Jesus' name, assuming that the legal rights have been canceled, then they can be cast out. So apparently you could feel them somewhat going on this heaviness, and I don't know how many times I've heard people say as we get into a deliverance and cast a few demons out, they say, well, I feel lighter. I've heard that hundreds of times, actually, and ironically, sometimes they physically even are lighter, as strange as that sounds. Well, Ray, you're then having been set free some months ago now, and you're finding that you're able now to even minister and help others.
Yes, and I love it. Praise God. I love reaching out to those people who are in bondage, and they are succumbed and overcome by the enemy and by demons. And praise God, they're being set free. And I'm glad that the Lord is using us here in deliverance ministry to set the captive free. Praise God. It's great.
Yeah, I can see you're caught up in finding out who you are in Jesus and the power that you've had all along to deal with these things. You just needed a little direction, a little viewing of the scriptures that tell us who we already are once we're born again, and then you can deal with the darkness of the world and see not only yourself set free, but then turn around and set others free. Ray Dutton, thank you for sharing your testimony on how Jesus set you free from homosexuality.
Well, praise God, brother. I am free indeed.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Welcome to Deliverance Ministries. I'm Everett Cox. The Bible tells us in Hosea 4:6 that the people perish for lack of knowledge. And how we've seen that to be so true as we deal in the spirit world, as we in deliverance on the front lines. And of course, when you do deliverance, you do it all. You start with salvation, you're involved in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the casting out of demons, the laying on of hands. You're doing all the works of Jesus. The whole gospel is deliverance, being delivered from some place that's not so good to some place that's better, that's for sure, from death even unto life. Well, here to share with us is someone that was over in the other side that was actually perishing for lack of knowledge, but praise God, he's come into the knowledge now, and he's come into deliverance, he's come into the freedom, he's come in from death unto life. Lance, I'd like to welcome you on the program today. Good to have you.
Thank you. I enjoyed coming today.
Lance, why don't you give us a little background on yourself, and if you would, and what's been going on in your life?
Well, my name's Lance. I'm 23 years old, and for 7 years I served Satan as a high priest. And the best thing that I can say is I no longer serve Satan. I serve a risen Savior. And he offers the salvation, a hope of life for everyone. And he's the ultimate. He's the best thing I've ever known.
That's our Jesus. Well, Lance, some people certainly are perishing for lack of knowledge out there. They think they can keep a foot on each side of the fence. They thought they've come to the Lord, but they still mess around even with witchcraft. And some of them not understanding what they're doing, but you have any comments in that area?
They're really they're playing with dynamite. There's God, and then there's Satan, and there's no in between. They don't need to walk a fence like that. That's dangerous.
We've certainly seen it's black and white. There is no middle ground. You cannot stay in the gray zone, so to speak. You're either on one side or the other. And we've seen as we've ministered to people that those that have some satanic background, that they have got to totally renounce that and come over to Jesus' side 100%. And then they see their life become that abundant life.
Yes, that's true. You've got to totally live for God every day. Just pick up your cross and decide who you serve. And that's what I've got to do. And he's very faithful in that. He has completely blotted out my sins against him, and now I live for something else other than power as once I craved. Now I live for trying to help other people meet God and introducing God to them.
What good news it is that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cancel all satanic contracts, and that's what you've done. You've come to Jesus, you've claimed his shed blood. Well, Lance, some people out there would say, oh, come on now, there isn't anything such as witchcraft going on, that's just hocus pocus in the movies and all that. What would you say to that question?
I would have to say that they're fooled. Witchcraft is very real. Satan is very, very real. That world in itself is just covered up. They want you to think that a Satanist is a person that gets into drugs, alcohol, and sex. That's what they want you to see. They don't want you to see a very organized world where everything is planned and just as a well-defined, organized church. And when a Satanist prays, if he misses a prayer session, until the next time he prays, his life is in jeopardy if he makes it to the next time he prays. If Christians would only take up the armor of God and pray that diligently, we'd see just a revival.
What types of, we certainly have seen there's plenty of power on the satanic side. The good news, of course, being that we have the greater power in the name of Jesus, so we can overcome by the blood again. But what types of power have you seen work when you were in the satanic world?
Well, there's all different types of power. The strongest, I guess, would be the Indian magic and the voodoo. And I practice both. The black magic is, that's what Indian magic and voodoo is. There's also that of the white magic, which you see a lot of white witches, which don't believe that they're really in the wrong, that they're doing things wrong, but they're being deceived.
Could you give us some examples of what how the power would work?
The power could take the form that basically you conjure with the power, and you conjure demonic spirits, and you send these spirits out on assignment to destroy God's work or attempt to destroy God's work.
Did you see some of that kind of thing happen?
Oh, yes. Our group saw over 60 churches divided, if not totally destroyed, through the conjuring. That's part of the power. God gives me, and now my world's different. Everything is so beautiful. Not destruction like what I was, but peace now.
Lance, when you came to Jesus and were born again, you found you still needed some additional work. You needed quite a few demons yet cast out.
Yes, I went to a Bible study on the OU campus. It's sponsored by Metro Church in Edmond. And I met some people and they helped me. And I further my deliverance from Metro Church, the support group. And it's really, God was just there. He brought me along and showed me just time after time, this is what I need you to do. And he was there with me all the time. And
what type of demons did you have cast out? Do you remember, Lance?
That was pretty horrible. I do remember a very strong demonic working with fear, love, hate, a lot of just the demonics of power that I so sought in that world.
Were there witchcraft spirits that were there as well?
Oh, yes. Your witchcraft works and intertwines in all of these through fear that grasps you. The witchcraft makes itself very much known.
I know one of our teams ministered to you, Fred Whitworth and others, and they had several deliverances with you. Is that right?
Yes, several manifestations.
Demons actually talk through you?
Yes, I did. And that was very normal for the demons to take. I allowed them to take total control of me when I was in that world and function through me. And I believe, I know now they're all gone. I praise God for that. And
you know, you've got the beam in your face of a Christian, Lance, that you've got in your face and your eyes. It's so often so easy to recognize people that belong to the Lord, and you look free in your face.
Thank you. That's something that I cherish, because it says in Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. That means what I did back then, God's totally forgiven me of that. And he's just, and he loves me now. And
that's our Jesus setting the captives free. Lance, in the few seconds remaining, what would you suggest to Christians to protect themselves against the darkness of the world?
To become well aware of Ephesians, of the armor, and put on that armor every day. Take up your cross every day. Remember who you're living for. And don't let the world take a hold of you. My fondest memories are of God now. And he offers so much. And my last words would be, there's a God and there's a heaven. And there's a heaven and a hell. But there is no in between. None.
Praise God today, Lance. You follow Jesus. Thank you for being on, brother. Thank you for the testimony.
Thank you.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Welcome to Deliverance Ministries. I'm Everett Cox. We read in Romans 1:24, wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use and to that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that reward for their error which was due. Well, it's easy to see that the Lord is talking about homosexuality, and how, in essence, it is a doctrine of devils. There's a lot of people today in this modern world that seem to make fun of that. That is, they seem to openly accept the homosexual doctrine that it's all right. Well, that isn't what the Word of God says. We know that it is in actuality an abomination to God, according to His Word here. So yes, these doctrines of devils are still going forth. But what good news it is to find out that Jesus is still setting the captives free. And while some people, they say they've been born that way, and they may have very well been born that way, they inherited a spirit of homosexuality. Well, we've seen people delivered before, because the Word of God still goes forth and is true as ever and as powerful as ever, setting the people free. Him that is ready to change, Jesus the Changer is ready. Well, here to share today with us is Brother Ron Mitchell, team leader with Deliverance Ministries on the front lines. Good to have you, Ron.
Glad to be here.
Ron, we were visiting earlier, and you were telling me about a homosexual case that you recently were involved with there in ministering, and would you share that with us?
Yes. This young man, we were scheduled to meet with him once. We went over to his apartment, and we ministered to him for about an hour and a half, but it didn't work that time. And later, his mother, which lived in another city, came down to find out more about his situation, because she had not known that he was homosexual herself. And so we met with her and the boy and the young man and his wife and some other people, and we did a deliverance that started at 6:30 and lasted quite long. But we led him into telling us where his began. His began when he was a young man, a little boy, and he was molested by an uncle, which happens a lot. Young men that would not, that are trusting of parents or uncles or kinfolk, will be molested by these men for some unknown reason. They're drawn to do it to them or something.
Wouldn't you say, Ron, that the homosexual, that is the perverse spirit, gained entry at the time that the victim was molested? I think we've all seen that in ministry. They've been at it a few years. Those that have been molested as a child, often a spirit, a perverse spirit, will tend to manifest itself years later in the adult and try to cause the person to do the same things that was done to him when he was little.
That's right. This young man was actually so ashamed of it that he didn't feel comfortable around women. And he got to the point that in later years, that in his teen years and older, that he would get with other boys and do it with them. And then later on, he, as he grew older, he would go out and cruise like we hear that homosexuals do. And we sat down. He even married and had two children. And when his wife found out that he was a homosexual, she left him because she was afraid of the AIDS problem. And she didn't want her children to catch this in whatever means. And she had them all checked, and they didn't have AIDS. We worked with him through this area, and we had him go through a healing of the memories and the forgiveness of the ones that had done it to him, and those that had been breaking of soul ties, of those that were. That he had gone through. We had him sit down and think back by the Holy Spirit of all those that he had been with and had committed this sin of homosexuality. And when we finished with him, we led him in casting out the spirit itself and the perverse spirit and associated spirits that were a part of that. We led him through lustful spirits that were incorporated with this, and we broke all the spirits that can cause sickness or the AIDS in his body. We broke the curse of the homosexuality over himself and from passing from him through his children or to his wife. We covered every area, everything that had anything to do with the homosexuality that had come on him throughout his life, and broke it all off. The next morning we went to church, and he was there also, and the Holy Spirit called him down the front, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so God completed his total healing in just 2 days.
Well, that's our Jesus, Ron, setting the captives free. And you know, with talking about AIDS, we read over in Deuteronomy 28, in essence, the curse of sin and the curse that's on the people flowing down even from Adam. But we read there's all types of curses, and obviously that puts a person under the curse anyway, participating in that type of sin. And here forth comes, you know, that some of the symptoms of AIDS, as I understand it, has to do with apparently some type of blotches and scabs and itches that come forth. And we read in Deuteronomy 28:27, where that's some of the type of stuff that's under the curse, scabs and itches and so forth. But isn't it good news, Ron, that Jesus is the Redeemer, that he took the curses for us to the cross in Galatians 3:13, where Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus took those curses, the curses that are on the people today because of AIDS. He took the sin. If we'll come to Jesus, he's still the Redeemer and still setting the people free. Well, Ron, you know, Ron, we were talking about how people can be born this way, how these things seem to be able to come through the generations. Yes, they can. One, as in the case you were describing, the person was molested when he was a child, and the spirit apparently had entry at that point and then later manifested itself to a great degree years later. But some of these people that we've ministered to seem to feel they were born that way, and we know that spirits can come down through the generations. In fact, over in Deuteronomy 23:2 is a scripture that talks about how we can be bothered in various areas, even to the 10th generation. And there's some others that suggest the 3rd and 4th generation. I've even seen demons manifest and talk about how they've been in there X number of generations, 5 generations or whatever. Of course, you never can believe them when they're manifesting particularly, but sometimes, as we've learned, they'll blow their cover nevertheless under the pressure of the blood. But we see these things coming down through the generations, and the good news being, though, as we are doers of the Word, we can cancel out those inherited spirits in Jesus' name. We can deal with them wherever they came from, whether it was from generations back or whether they came in when the person was a child or whenever. What good news it is as we apply the Word of God. You know, that's one thing I guess many of us have thought, that we have free rides, and yet as we've experienced in the field, we realize we have to apply the Word. Jesus says He came to destroy the works of the devil. He did it, and now we're to do the same works that He did. We, too, are to destroy the works of the devil by ministering in the power of the blood. Well, Ron Mitchell, thank you for sharing today.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries, coming to you with more of the good news that, yes, there is freedom in Jesus. And I don't care what it is, what the problem is, what bondage one has going on in their lives, praise God, when we're ready, Jesus is always ready. He's there waiting for you and I to reach out and say, Lord, help me. The only prerequisite to freedom is to seek your freedom. Well, here on the program today is a good brother of mine that I've known a number of years, and even we've worked together in the business world. But today we're working together in Christ Jesus. I'd like to welcome to the program Brother Rusty Plumtree. Good to have you, Rusty.
It's good to be here, Everett. God bless you.
Rusty, you've got an exciting testimony, and it's always exciting to hear what God's doing in people's lives. You know, just like we were talking, it doesn't matter what our problems are. Jesus is a deliverer. He's always ready, and you know, here we are, born again, spirit-filled Christians, but it's like Jesus said, we'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world, and through Him we can overcome. But nobody said we got a free ride without some tribulations, and I guess all of us, including the listeners out there, have had their share of them, but still, there's victory in Jesus. Well, Rusty, why don't you share today where you've come from. When was it you were born again?
First born again at the age of 7 years old in a little church in Bethany, Oklahoma, and gave my heart to the Lord at that time as just a young boy.
All right. And then how about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues?
Well, initially I was 13 years old in a little Assembly of God church down on South Oklahoma City. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and the old devil, though, he came in and kind of stole that away from me, kind of lied to me. A lot of people have been lied to about that. And when we move in the power of the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit begins to move, it seems like so many times if we don't have the Word of God in us about the gifts of the Spirit, Satan will come and try to steal the blessings of God and the gifts of the Spirit. And kind of that's what happened to me. The devil came to me and began to pounce on me about these gifts and say, no, that's just you. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not God. Boy, you've done it now. You're in big trouble now. God's going to get you. And so I thought, well, you know, at 13 years old, you're going through a lot of things anyway. And I thought, well, Lord, I don't want to hurt you. So I just quit practicing the gifts. And of course, I ended up in more trouble then as I became 16, 17, you know, in that area. But 17 years old, God saved me. He baptized me in the Holy Ghost, and this time I knew that I knew that I knew, and I had the Word of God in me, and the teaching that really helped me to know and understand what the gifts of the Spirit are, and what it means to speak in tongues, and what it means to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And
it's so shallow without that base of the Word under you. You just can't hold on, because the world is pressuring you from all directions, as we've all known.
Yes, that's right. And I lived for the Lord for about 3 years, from 17 until I was 20 years old, and really serving God and moving in the gifts of the Spirit and letting God use me. But then, you know, Satan, he began to, once again, if he can't get you with lack of knowledge, you know, the Word says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and that's kind of what defeated me at 13. Well, now I had the knowledge, I had the gifts of the Spirit, and I knew what was going on. So now what he started doing was by trying to pull me away through different lust and different things, different temptations.
No doubt the different spirits on assignment, because, you know, we all have a ministry that we're supposed to do at some point. And no doubt Satan sensed that. And so here he is trying to torpedo you. It's happened to lots of people. They know they have a ministry. They know that they know that they know it. But the other side comes to kill, destroy, and steal, and certainly to block ministries. And that's what started happening in your life, wasn't it?
That's exactly it. And much of that I can see now, looking back. You know, hindsight's 20/20. I look back and I can see how that it was my running from the call God had on my life that gave Satan the opening to do pull me away. And over a period of time, about 2 or 3 years, by the time I was 21, 22, I had entered into a lifestyle of alcohol, drugs, homosexuality, all types of just things that were just tearing me apart, and knowing that these things were wrong in my heart. And so I left the church because I knew as a child that these things were wrong. But I couldn't be a hypocrite. I couldn't go to church and continue. So I just, you know, I guess I'm one of those, maybe it's a type A personality. You just give yourself everything, whatever you're doing, you just put your whole self into it. And so I did that, though, running from God, too. And for almost 10 years, I ran from God. And as you know, I came to work for you in 1980. And it was God ordained that. He brought me here to Oklahoma Mortgage Company for the time that I was here. And for 2.5 years, my stubbornness, I guess, kept me from receiving all that God had for me. But I was here on His assignment then. He had directed, you know, God's Word says that He has planned our steps. The steps of the righteous, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. God has ordered and planned and purposed our lives from before we were conceived. And He had planned that I would come to hear and to hear the Word of God and just be treated with love and unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. And
here at the Full Service Mortgage Company, right?
That's right.
Well, one thing about it, here at Oklahoma Mortgage, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, He is. And it was through that love that I felt and that I received that I came to an understanding. Now, I didn't just all of a sudden, like I said, it was 2.5 years, almost 3 years, actually, Memorial Day of 1983, when I finally reached the bottom, and I had struggled, I had searched, I had tried to live out all the hedonistic things in my life and just living for the flesh, living to fulfill my desires, thinking that, you know, all those lies are out there. Well, listen, if God created it and if it feels good, then it must be, and God made it, then it must be good for you and there's nothing wrong with it. Well, I learned one thing. As I said, I was into homosexuality. That is perverse, but perversion is not just same-sex sex. perversion is any sex outside the marriage bed. God did create it. It was absolutely an awesome thing of God, part of the covenant of marriage that God created. And I know we don't have time. I wish I could get into that. I could preach a message on
how'd you get delivered, Rusty? That's what we want to hear next.
God, I tell you what, I woke up. Well, I didn't wake up either. I was up all night long after a long weekend, that Memorial weekend, and all of a sudden I found myself at the bottom, and I could not see. I could not pray. I could not read my Bible. I tried. I'd always tried those things, but God, I called my parents. They came and got me. They took me to the house, and through television, TBN, a man preaching and casting out devils. Over
even right on the TV at that very moment.
Now, that guy didn't know I was in that kitchen, but God did. And God had that program playing that day that I might be set free. And I tell you, it took several hours, and there were times I'd find myself laid out in the middle of the kitchen floor not knowing how in the world I got there, my mom and dad praying over me, and just
spirits manifesting and stuff.
Yes, yes, in different ways. I don't really remember all the things that happened because those things had such a stronghold, such a control over me after those 10 years. And but praise God, He set me free. I'm now in the ministry. I'm now pastoring a church. 3 years ago, another Memorial Day.
What year was it you were set free then?
It was in 1983.
All right, so you've had a real good run on it now.
Yes, praise God. 7 years He took me, preparing me for the ministry. 7 years after that, on a Memorial Day again, He birthed the Arbor Ministries, which Arbor Ministries is a ministry to AIDS patients, to those people who are HIV positive or have AIDS. This is a non-judgmental, but it's Christ-centered, just loving and accepting anyone who has this disease. We don't ask where they got the disease. But we just know that, and we love them and say Jesus is the healer. He's the one that heals not just the physical body, but the spiritual, which is the most important, is the spiritual healing and getting our hearts right with God.
That's your ministry, brother. Setting the captives free, ministering to them, seeing them born again into the body of Christ. Isn't that neat? Praise God. Yes, you've come a long way since the days you used to be in the mortgage company working in the collection department.
Amen. Yeah, I don't use my collection voice anymore.
you're speaking with power by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Well, Brother Rusty Plumtree, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. God bless you, Everett, and Deliverance Ministries.